Well, this will be the fourth and the last sermon of our Advent series this year. And this year, we're looking at the Advent account as given by Luke, the physician and the missionary partner with the Apostle Paul. And this morning, we'll be looking at the birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. These are the words of God. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying that was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Our gracious Heavenly Father, add now the blessing of your Holy Spirit to our consideration of these words. Guide us and teach us. Cause us to ponder these things even as Mary did. And let them, O Lord, rise up within us, the truth, the greatness, the glory of them. Let it overwhelm us and transform us into the likeness of Christ, that we might be your faithful servants. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the opening of our passage tells us how Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem, which is where the prophet Micah said the Messiah would be born. That's in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And how it was that Jesus would be born there rather than in Nazareth, which is where his parents were living at the time. It was the decree of the most powerful man on the earth at that time, the decree of Caesar Augustus, which required a census for governmental, administrative, and taxation purposes. Now, already, this is very different from the typical ancient literature regarding pagan deities who were never born and they never grew up in any kind of an actual historical setting. It was always something that was timeless in nature. But Luke makes it very clear here that Jesus did. He grew up in history. He was born in a specific village, Bethlehem. He was born at a specific time under real rulers, under Caesar Augustus and then Quirinius, the governor of Syria. He was born to a particular household. He was born to a particular mother and to a particular adoptive father, Joseph. Now, this ruler, Caesar Augustus, is one of the most famous rulers in history. He was perhaps the most powerful ruler in the post-flood world up until that time. He originally was called Octavian, and he emerged as the chief official of Rome and became the first man to be declared emperor of the entire Roman Empire. He reigned from 30 BC to 14 AD under the title Caesar Augustus, in other words, the August One, the Great One. He was a great statesman and ruler in terms of success in increasing the might and the prestige and the sophistication of the Roman Empire. He greatly strengthened the military, and for his entire reign, Rome was at peace in the sense of not being in open hostilities, not being at war. And so this is where we get the famous name, the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. It started during the reign of Caesar Augustus. He did a lot to advance the culture of the Roman Empire, and toward the end of his life, he said that he had found Rome bricks, and he had made it marble. He began all kinds of building programs. He set up a massive system of centralized government, regulating commerce and trade, and was pursuant to that centralized regulatory and taxation scheme that Caesar orders a census. And to help keep track of everyone, everybody had to return to the city of their birth. So Joseph, who was of the tribe of Judah and who was born in Bethlehem, who was the city of David, had to return there in order to register. Now, Bethlehem was a village in the hill country of Judea. It was about 7 or 8 miles outside of Jerusalem, down toward the south. So this was, for Mary and Joseph, anywhere from about 95 to 135 miles journey that they had to make, which meant it was a 5 to 7 day journey, depending on whether they came straight down through Samaria or whether they went around Samaria. And this is where we begin to get into a number of different misconceptions about the birth of Christ. We typically picture Mary and Joseph traveling with her 9 months pregnant and arriving in Bethlehem right at her due date, trying to get a room at the local inn, but being turned away because it was full, and then having to spend the night in a stable where the birth pangs came upon Mary and she gave birth to Jesus. In reality, it is highly unlikely that Joseph and Mary waited so late in her pregnancy to make the journey. They likely arrived more in the mid part of her pregnancy. Having grown up in Bethlehem, Joseph would have had a number of different relatives there, and that's where Joseph and Mary would have attempted to stay, not at an inn. Now, it's interesting, the Greek word in our text that's translated inn is not the specific word in the Greek which means inn. If you want to look at the specific word that means inn, you can find it in Jesus' famous parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember the Good Samaritan stops and helps the person that's been injured along the road, and it says it carries him to a certain village or town and delivers him to an innkeeper whom he pays to take care of the man. Now, that's the specific Greek word for an inn. That's not the word that's used here. The word used here is the word that was typically used for a guest room in a house, which in that day was typically upstairs, and thus you will often find it referred to in the New Testament as the upper room, like the room where Jesus celebrated the first Lord's Supper with his disciples. It's the guest room, which is upstairs. Now, Bethlehem at this time would have been over